Good morning. Looks awful empty out there. You know, there's a whole bunch of young people that aren't here today. Gail and I drove down to Milwaukee yesterday to, it was Kyle's birthday, 17th birthday. So we went down and said happy birthday, and they kind of looked like, what is the matter with you? We got home about 2 this morning. It was fun. But it was a fun time because we had one of the most dynamic Bible studies I've ever been involved in. You know, pastors doing teachings on the weapons of our warfare. And Gail has a book by that title. And she read it, and we did a Bible study on it. I mean, I was driving. She was doing all the reading and all of the searching. It was good Bible study, good Bible study. But it's just amazing how the books and things, I mean, we've had this book for quite some time, and it just fit right into what pastor's teaching on. And it's a good book. Who's it by, Missy? I was going to bring it in and hold it up. It's a good book. We need to review the three battlegrounds, the mind, the church, heavenly places. Who's it by? Francis Frank Payne is the author. It's a good book. Good book. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all here today. All this equipment up here, I thought, man, we got a big band here. I only see 2 people. I don't know if they're both coming up or just one, but hallelujah. Let's turn to page 351. Let's do the first and third verses. Come and dine. Hallelujah. You know there's a table that's spread, and he wants us to come and feast with him all the time. Hallelujah. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed to the hungry. Come and dine. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Verse 3. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. To the chorus. Dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Hallelujah. 302. Hallelujah. See if we can do this better here. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Verse 3. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Alleluia, thine the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Alleluia, thine the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine the glory. Revive us again. Alleluia, thine the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine the glory. Revive us again. Alleluia.
It's good that old Bobby Shackleton's still here. Amen. I've got the time checked, Bob. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. And we're here to worship and praise Him. The Bible said, praise Him on the string instruments. One black preacher I know out of the city said, praise Him on the peasel tree. And if you don't know what that is, that's the psaltery. Hello? Amen. But he called her the peasel tree. Glory to God. Anyway, brought Charlie along. Hallelujah. Old Charlie, don't skip a beat. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's a little guitar pick, and then we're going to sing for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. to God when I go to the prison. Thank you for your sympathy. When I go to the prison and play for the boys, I teach them how to play guitar. One easy lesson. Title of the song's called Jailbreak. It goes like this. Amen. They like it. Hallelujah. Oh, let us lift our voices unto the sky and start to sing. Let us now return our love. Let our praises ring. Oh Lord, let your presence now fill the air. Let us feel it from head to toe. I love you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I want to let this world know. Sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Sometimes gently singing, thank you, Jesus. Our hearts in one accord. Oh, praising today. Sometimes hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, lovely Lord.
Sometimes gently singing.
Our hearts in one. Accord. Here's where it's all at today. I owe it all to Jesus. I owe it all to Jesus. If I am ever anything, hallelujah. All the praise to Him I bring. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! I owe it all to Jesus. I owe it all to Jesus. This melody of love within. Oh, praise Him. I owe it all to Him. He's worthy of the praise. I owe it all to Jesus. I owe it all to Jesus. If I am ever anything, think about it this morning. All the praise to Him I bring. Woo, glory! I owe it all to Jesus. I owe it all to Jesus. This melody of love within. I owe it all to Him. In the presence of Jehovah, He's God Almighty. Yes, He is. He's the Prince of Peace. My troubles vanish
hearts are mended in the presence.
Oh, just open up your heart this morning to the Lord. He'll heal a broken heart. He'll lift oppression off of you. Put joy in your heart. Hallelujah.
In the presence of Jehovah.
Hallelujah.
He's God Almighty.
Yes, you are, Lord.
He's the Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish.
Hallelujah.
Hearts are mended in the presence of the King. There's a flight leaving here in the morning. Destination's been charted long ago. Yes, it has. For the captain, he's now ready and waiting. And the engine, they're still idle low. Still waiting for all those that linger.
Come on, we've got people, amen, that need to come in. Unclaimed tickets, they're free. They're free. Hallelujah. To every man.
So make your way to the toll gate.
Woo! Glory!
Called Calvary. Fold this one way flat to glory land. We'll all aboard, the master calleth from the runway. For our leaving is almost at hand. Make your way to the toll gate called Calvary. Fold this one way flat to glory land.
He's gonna give the call.
All aboard, the master called it from the runway. For our leaving is almost at hand. Make your way to the toll gate called Calvary. Fold this one way flat to glory land. This flight is for all those believing, and the pilot is Jesus, God's Son. They've been ready and waiting, the passengers. They've been prepared for this heavenly run.
Jesus, praise your name.
Oh, my brother, oh, please don't linger, for soon all aboard will say their last goodbye. So make your way to the toll gate called Calvary and secure your reservation in the sky. All aboard, the master calleth from the runway. For our leaving is almost at hand. Oh, make your way to the toll gate called Calvary. Oh, this one-way flight to glory.
Come on, have you got your ticket? Jesus, it's a ticket. He's gonna sail aboard, the master calleth from the runway.
For our even is almost at hand. Oh, make your way to the toll gate called Calvary. Oh, this one-way flight to glory land. Come on, it ain't gonna be long. There's a flight that's leaving here in the morning. Destination's been charted long ago from eternity. The captain is now ready and waiting. And the engines, they're still idle low, waiting for all those now that linger. Unclaimed tickets, they're free to every man. So make your way to the toll gate called Calvary and secure your reservation for his plan. We'll all aboard the master calling. Do you hear him calling? Oh, for I leave and is almost at hand. Make your way, make your way. Calvary, glory, for this one-way flight to glory land. Woo! He's gonna sail aboard, the master calleth from the runway. For I leave and is almost at hand. Make your way to the toll gate called Calvary. Oh, this one-way flight to glory land. Make your way to the toll gate called Calvary. For this one-way flight to glory land. Woo! Give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Going to do one more song. Turn it back to the pastor. Hallelujah. You pray. I was down in Tarkill, Missouri, playing for 172 young guys from 12 to 20 years old. Hallelujah. Played guitar and lifted up Jesus. There's 42 detention centers in the United States just like that. Hallelujah. That night, these different ones came back, had church service, had 35 of them come to the altar, give their hearts to Jesus. The chaplain said many for the first time. There's a revival. I was just down in Arkansas here a few weeks back. I love my buddies down in Arkansas. Holy Ghost is a moving. Amen. Seeing people filled with the Holy Ghost and the Lord saving people and in the deliverance business. So pray that God sends a revival in the United States that won't quit in every little burg, every little city. Come on. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. See. Long years ago, when out in sin, I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees, in agony, I cried to Jesus and he came and set me free. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my heart were rolled away. He made me happy, glad, and free. I'm gonna shout it, for he's everything to me. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now. At his feet, just humbly bow. Confess to him your every sin. He'll save and set you free and give you joy within. I never shall forget that day when all the burdens of my heart were rolled away. He made me happy, glad, and free. I'm gonna shout it, for he's everything to me.
I never shall
forget the day
when all the burdens
of my heart rolled away. Happy, so glad and free. Never shall forget that day. All the burdens of my heart rolled away. Made me happy, so glad and free. Shouted for his everything to me. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus right now. And at his feet, all you gotta do is humbly bow. Confess to him your every sin. He'll save and set you free and give you joy within. I never shall forget that day when all the burdens of my heart rolled away. He made me happy, so glad and free. Shouted for his everything to me. I never shall forget that day. All the burdens of my heart rolled away. He made me happy, so glad and free. Shouted for his everything to me. I'm gonna shout it for everything to me.
Amen. Praise him. If you got saved, you remember that day. Hallelujah. When your burdens rolled away, give Jesus a big hand. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! He made you happy, glad, and free, Brother Manning.
So today I get to preach at the husbands, although a lot of what I wanted to say was taken in Sunday school. So if you were here for that, a lot of this will be rehashed for you. But we are looking at the Godly Home series, and I haven't done this for a while, preached on the home. But it's something that is very dear to all of us, and so it's important. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at a few different scriptures. But to begin with, our theme verses for this series is Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Before we actually look at the scripture this morning, I have some travel agent stories that I thought you might be interested in. One agent told this story. I had someone ask for an aisle seat on a plane so her hair wouldn't get messed up by being near the window. And not all travelers are seasoned and know their geography. One woman called an agent and said, I need to fly to Pepsi Cola on one of those computer planes. The agent replied, do you mean you want to fly to Pensacola on a commuter plane? She replied, yeah, whatever. Then a fellow called his agent to make reservations, saying, I want to go from Chicago to Hippopotamus, New York. The agent was a bit shaken and said, are you sure that's the name of a town? I've looked up every airport in the country, and I can't find a hippopotamus anywhere. The traveler replied, don't be silly. Everyone knows where it is. Look at your map. The agent scoured the map of New York and finally offered, you don't mean Buffalo, do you? The fella responded, yeah, that's it. I knew it was a big animal. Pretty easy for a traveler to get confused nowadays. And the reason for this message today is to help husbands not be confused with their wives. We want to get husbands and wives on the same plane. And there is a wonderful travel guide for the home and for the family. It's called the Bible. I wholeheartedly recommend it for everyone. In fact, I want to get it out now. The Bible. Our text, Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. I'm starting it a verse earlier than what most Bibles mark the division as. Usually starts with verse 18. I want to start with verse 17. And whatsoever ye do, that means even in your marriage, in raising children, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, by Jesus. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. We looked at that idea last week and we talked about the wives' garden. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. The part we want to key on today is verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know this to be the love chapter. I want to begin with verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word today. We pray that we would all be able to learn something about love. But I pray especially for the husbands here that you would give them the grace to not only be hearers of this word, but doers of it as well. That they would take the tools that you have given them to make a successful marriage, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Some time ago, an American statesman stood before the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. As he contemplated that elegant building, he thought to himself, this is the heart of America. He explained his feelings. It seemed that the great building faded, and in its place, I saw a little hometown down in the mountains of North Carolina. As I thought of that little home, I saw a poor, rugged father with calloused hands. Every evening, he called his children together around the old family Bible to have family worship and prayers. The statesman remembered, Father would awaken at sunrise every morning and call us out of bed to say family prayers. At every meal, we would say grace.
Father plowed in the fields all day long. His hands were calloused. His face was suntanned, and perspiration often streamed down his brow. And he was an honest man who reared his children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. As I stood before the Capitol picturing that scene, I realized that the foundation of every society and the very heart and core of the nation is the home. Perhaps the greatest threat to America today is the breakdown of the home. One of Satan's chief aims is the destruction of the family. And the devil uses certain tools to try to tear apart the home. Things like contention, selfishness, strife, alcohol, and the new morality, which is really no morality at all. Satan's tools are many, and they are most effective. But husbands, I want you to know today that God has given you certain tools to combat Satan's tools. And I want you to open up your toolbox today and discover what these tools are, and then put them into practice. Use these tools in your marriage. What are your tools? What is the husband's tools to make a successful marriage? Well, the first tool and the greatest tool is love. Love is the greatest tool. Husbands, do you realize, you probably do, that you have an awesome responsibility in loving your wives? Ephesians 5:25 is a hard verse to swallow. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That is a tall order, but that is what we have been called to do, to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and to lay down our lives for our wives as Christ did for the church. Your wife's honor of you can only be generated by your love and devotion. You know, as a Christian, it's not difficult to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why it's not difficult to love him? Because he loved us so very much. He took the initiative in demonstrating love, and he loved us so much that he went to the cross, and he was willing to suffer on that cross at the hands of sinful men. He was willing to die on Calvary because of his great love for them. He paid that dreadful price because he wanted to. God loves you this morning. Jesus Christ loves you. If all have forsaken you, if you feel like nobody else really loves me, I want you to know that God does. He loves you today. Jesus loved you so much that he died for your sins. And now the Bible requires us husbands to love our wives even as Jesus loved the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 gives the attachments to this tool of love. If you take your tool of love, and we discover that there are certain attachments that go with this love, we find them in 1 Corinthians 13. Such love suffers long, is long-suffering. This kind of love does not appear and disappear with changing circumstances. Love is kind. That means that love is affectionate, sympathetic, gentle, and understanding. One man said that the reason he had great success in his marriage because his wife and he were best friends. He said of his wife, "She is my best friend." Love is kind, and love has to do with friendship. Love has to do with being friends. What a tragedy it is when husbands and wives are no longer friends, the best of friends. My wife is my best friend. I tell her that. I have nobody else in the world that is a better friend than she is. She is my best friend. Husbands, can you honestly say that you would rather be with your wife than with anybody else, than with any other person in the world? You need to work on that relationship so that you and your wife are the best of friends. Be friends with them. And then charity envieth not. Love wants the best for the other person. It produces grace and good manners in the marriage. I was wondering today, would you allow me to give you a little quiz on manners? I thought this might be fun. You know, I've heard wives say, "I wish my husband had better manners." And I want to give you a little quiz here. And I guess we'll let either the husbands or the wives take this little quiz. If you are eating a piece of cherry pie and discover a stone, In our family, Josh always gets the cherry pits. I don't know why, but he always gets them. If there's a pit to be found, he gets it. How do you remove that pit from your mouth? Do you remove it with your finger? Do you spit it into your spoon? Do you deposit it in your glass while you're taking a drink? The answer is you take it out of your mouth with your thumb and your forefinger. You remove it that way. How about when you feel a sneeze coming on while you are sitting at the table? What is the best way to handle that sneeze? Quickly leave the table. Cover your face with your hands. Face your hostess. Or some other way. The answer is you turn your head slightly, use your handkerchief as quietly as possible, and do not excuse yourself. If you are eating a jelly sandwich, why are all these eating ones? I don't know. Maybe that's because that's what men like to do best. And some of the jelly dribbles out into your tie. What should you do? The answer is don't wear it. No, it's not don't wear a tie. Lift your tie and lick it off. Turn the tie around. Or begin a scraping operation. The answer is take a knife or fork, scoop the substance and place it at the side of your plate, then dip your napkin into your water glass and rub the spot lightly. Here's some that are, this one's not eating. If you and your wife are going into a room, which one should go in first? Who thinks they got the answer? Bob?
The wife.
The wife, that's right. Unless it's dark and you wish to make it ready for her. How about this one? We'll take a response on this one. If you are walking down the sidewalk with your wife, on which side should you be, George? The outside. The outside facing the curb. There is an exception. The exception is unless there's some sort of danger from the building side. Correct. What do you do? Hey, this has happened to everybody. What do you do if you are asked a question with a mouthful of food? Hold up a finger, spit the food into your spoon, talk with your mouth full, or smile at the one asking you the question while you continue chewing your food. The last one, you nod in acknowledgement, take your time, chew your food, swallow before answering. Let that be a reminder to you to take small bites of food. One last one. If you drop some peas on the carpet during dinner, what should you do? Smash them into the rug? Use your foot to kick it further under the table or under somebody else's chair? Reach down and pick them up? Leave them alone? Or none of these?
Call the dog.
Call the dog. Leave them alone until you have an opportunity to unobtrusively pick them up. I like what Bill had to say this morning about opening the car door. You remember courting that lovely girl you now have as your wife? You couldn't wait to open the door for her. And he asked, how long has it been since you've done that? You know, the marriage ceremony is not the end of good manners. In fact, you need to start courting. Court that girl every day of your life. Love requires it. And then charity vaunteth not itself. Jesus gave himself for the church. He is always interested in the other person. Jesus went about healing, touching, helping, teaching, loving. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Be interested in them. Be interested in what they are interested in. Touch them, help them, love them. Does your wife get your top attention? Your wife should not take second place to anything in your life. And then love is not puffed up. It's not proud. Hollywood has told us that love is never having to have to say, I'm sorry. That's a lie. That's a lie. The loving husband will never allow pride to become a barrier between him and his life partner. You know, I probably tell my wife, I'm sorry at least once a day about something. We need to say when we are wrong, we need to admit that we are wrong and not be so proud that we cannot admit it. Love endures all things. Malice, greed, jealousy, all those little things can easily spoil the home. Ideal love always thinks the best of the other one. It grants the benefit of the doubt. Christian love rejoices in the truth and believes all good things about the other person. And we live in an age of cynicism. Insulting comedians are popular nowadays. And they'll insult people and they'll insult you and you'll start laughing and pretty soon you realize that you're laughing at yourself. But a lot of comedians nowadays, they get cheap laughs by putting down their wives. Putting down women has become very popular. But we should not make our wives the object of put-down humor. Love never fails, and it bridges the gap in times of misunderstanding. And husbands, it was brought out in Sunday school, but let me repeat again. When we love our wives on such a lofty level, it is not difficult for our wives to return their love and appreciation and affection. And from that honor comes the virtue of submission. You just really can't demand submission. When you show the proper love to her, she will be willing to submit to your leadership. To love and honor your wife at home should also be reflected into dignity toward her in public. A Christian man is always a gentleman. God did not create Eve from a bone of Adam's foot so that he could figuratively step on her. No, he chose a rib, that bone structure nearest to man's heart, so that he could go through life side by side with his mate. Love. Love is the key tool in your marriage relationship. And there are many attachments to that love from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Another tool is understanding. Understanding. I was surprised to find out one time at a particular seminar that there had been a study done and women had responded to this study and what their main needs were. And what surprised me was the number one need of most wives. The number one need of most wives is the need to be understood. The need for understanding. Husbands, has your wife ever said to you, "You just don't understand"? You don't understand me. You just don't understand. We've probably all heard that before. That is their number one need, to be understood. And as husbands, we need to understand that a woman is a responder. So we learn to understand their ups and downs. We learn to understand their moods. This husband shares with her as often as possible the fact that he loves her. The idea of telling your wife that you loved her when you got married and if it changed, you would let her know is, well, actually, there's a Greek word for it. It's called baloney. You need to tell your wives that you love them. Tell your wives and show them. Not only tell them, but show them that you love them. Sometimes our words say one thing, but our actions prove something else. So we demonstrate to our wives as well as telling them that we love them. And the third tool, I'm only going to look at three because these are the main three, I believe. And if these three are in place, you'll have a successful marriage. The other tools you'll naturally pick up. The last tool is spiritual leadership. Husbands, your tools are love, understanding, and spiritual leadership. This is another one that I hear so many women talking about. Pastor, if only my husband was the spiritual leader in our family. Wives crave that. They cry out for it. They don't want to be the leader in the family. They want their husbands to take that responsibility. And so I'm speaking for every wife here this morning when I'm saying, husbands, take the responsibility for spiritual leadership in your homes. All the wives, I thought I'd have an amen there somewhere. All right, thank you. Your home can be a sanctuary for your wife and children when you assume your spiritual leadership. That is a husband's responsibility. Marriage suffers dreadfully when that principle is abandoned. A wife loves to hear her husband pray. They do. Husbands, your wives love to hear you pray. Don't ever deprive her and your children the tremendous spiritual lift that they get when they hear you pray. Whether they just hear you pray alone with God or whether they hear you pray alongside of them in their presence, they love to hear you pray. Don't ever deprive them of such an incredible encouragement and spiritual lift in their lives. The husband's toolbox, open them up today. Find the tools that you need to make your marriage a success. The tool of love with all the attachments from 1 Corinthians 13. The tool of understanding. Peter says that we are to live with our wives according to knowledge. We are to know them. We are to understand them. We are to make it our business to know them and to understand them. Giving honor unto the wives as the weaker vessel, he continued. And the third tool that you have is spiritual leadership. You be the high priest in your home. And you'll discover that when you are the high priest in your home, your wife will fall into place as far as her jurisdiction and where she belongs and where she fits in the home and family. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? The home truly is the heart of America. As the home goes, so will go the nation. And I believe that's why there is such an attack on the family today. The enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He is out to steal your relationship with your wife. And in most cases, you need to know this, in most cases where there is not a loving relationship between the husband and the wife, the devil gets the children. It's like the children come for free. So it is vitally important that you establish that godly relationship with your wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How many husbands are here today? And maybe young people that are not married yet, but someday you hope to aspire to be a husband and a father. And as God gives you grace, you will open that toolbox and you will pick out the tools necessary to make your marriage successful. You're going to pick up the tool of love, the tool of understanding, and the tool of spiritual leadership. And if that's your desire, if that's your commitment today, would you raise your hand up to the Lord, up and then down? Amen. Amen. Thank you, men. Father, you see these hands today. We thank you for their willingness to take apart the main part in their family and in their marriage relationship. Lord, if there is any marriages here today that are not what they should be, there's couples that are losing it. We pray today, Lord, that you would restore that marriage. Lord, that you would heal it. That you would bring these couples back together. Lord, help us to realize that as we grow closer to you, we grow closer to each other. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen every marriage that is here. All of our marriages could be strengthened. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to weather any storm that would come our way. Give us the grace to take the tools of love and understanding and spiritual leadership that we might apply them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.